I have Owen McDermott opposite me because socialising with your work colleagues is something that naturally happens, but we seldom stop to think that if, you know, how we act on nights out and with the staff, how can that impact how we're viewed once we get back into work? And Owen McDermott is the director of the Communications Clinic and joins us to speak about how to avoid having the total fear after what's meant to be chilled out work drinks. Owen, we've all been there. Pray tell, what is your view? Is socialising with your colleagues a good thing?
I think it's wonderful. I think it can be a wonderfully rewarding thing where, particularly with your peers, people around the same age as you, probably around the same level, on the same career trajectory, it's a great way of actually becoming quite good friends with them. And if you are working in the same company or in the same industry, you're going to be with them for quite a while, and having those friendships are wonderful. I do think it's interesting that we define socialising though as being in the pub, because there's lots of other avenues out there that people can do. It can be breakfast, lunch, it could be a shared interest, whether it's like a lot of companies do now, like tag rugby, which I wouldn't necessarily be interested in myself, but that others get a great kick out of, whether it's going tennis, going to a match, a gangy going to the cinema. There can be kind of shared experiences. Although I did find it interesting that even my own head went to straight to the pub when we were talking about socialising. And I think probably with your peers, going to the pub is okay. Where it gets a bit iffy is when either your boss is going to be there or you're the boss and your staff are with you.
It's actually interesting because, yes, same here. So first thing, when you think of socialising with your colleagues, of course, you know, we think of the pub. But do you know what? Any friends who work at international companies, often what their situation is, they take them on away days, which in the beginning I was like, going away for a whole day, not working with your colleagues, and maybe there's an overnight thing, and it's all very grown up.
Yeah, well, those away days are interesting. I think probably if they're chosen with the staff in mind. You know, there would be a company I'd be aware of where their boss brought them up to the Dublin Mountains in the middle of winter because he was into that thing, and they couldn't have thought of a worse thing to do, and it was the least team building exercise they could ever have done.
And you can't say no.
No, and you're kind of you're freezing your ass off up on the sugar loaf, and you're saying this isn't fun for anybody. So I do think if organisations are going to do it, it's probably wise to choose ones that have staff in mind. So you'd see, as we talked about tag rugby, but there was another lovely one that I found quite interesting, where an organisation went on an away day to the Westerly Way and did the cycle up through Westport. Now that was a nice way of doing it, a good way of spending time. It was in the summer, it wasn't on the sugar loaf. There was lots of kind of positive things to it. It is quite growing up and it is quite sensible, but it's also quite sensible for the company, because if it's a night out or a day out, they're liable for anything that happens. So say for example on a night out, someone might break their leg, might say something, there might be a fight, there might be somebody might, and we can talk about office relationships later on, trying it on. All of those things are under the umbrella of you're in work. So people just kind of probably need to think a little bit about that.
That's the thing. And something that you have, which is brilliant, is this your line? One drink good, two drinks better, three drinks, four drinks never.
Yeah, that was a line that was given to me by a very wise man that I hope I have tried to keep in mind for most of my work nights out. But it's a good principle to have, particularly if your manager is going to be there or your staff are going to be there, because it keeps you kind of on the straight and narrow. Because one of the things that drink can do to us is it frees us up, but it also leads to probably you doing things that you would never really in your right mind do in the workplace. For example, there would be an organisation who do a big grad recruitment process, and as part of the team building, they'd bring people out on a night out. One of those graduates got very drunk and she then went and spanked an extremely senior manager on the bum. Now, he might have liked it, you don't know, but it's a high risk strategy to follow in terms of furthering your relationship.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Then you have to deal with how you're going to handle it the next day. So there's all of those aspects to look at. And I think if you're looking at socialising as what should your view be, it needs to be, will this help further my relationships, friendships? Great if it will. Or will it help further my reputation in the company? And great if it will. But doing a spanking on the bum isn't probably the best way of doing
it. No, Owen, listen, and I love how together and not giddy and giggly you are even thinking of that scene, because imagine you've got some young one and the boss is there and she comes in, has one too many, and whoosh, it's just that's
it's
the type of night.
Fabulously awful, isn't
you
it?
You wake up and fabulously awful, and you're just going, please, I can never show myself. Yeah, there is a reputation that's going to come from that. but it's not going to be a good one.
Yeah, but it is those things of looking to say, okay, well, what can I have that is sensible? And going out with your friends, your peer group, is a good approach to have as well. Get lovely way of spending time with each other. It just doesn't mean, though, that you have to go and have that one drink too many. And drink and work, I'm always a wee bit hesitant of the combination of both.
There's another thing we were talking about here amongst ourselves upstairs, that there is that thing as well, even if it's not to do with everybody, obviously, this day and age in particular, we're, you know, very aware, drink aware. And it's a case of you need to be aware as well. A lot of people aren't drinking anymore. Mm. So also, that person is going to be a little bit more together perhaps the next day, and yet often that'll be the first person on the dance floor, the last person off. So it's not a case of I'm going, this is going to be that person who the next day comes back into the office. But often there is one person who will come back in and recount gory details of the night before. So where are the rules? You know, the work rules, because in, you know, when you're in your work face on, you're not talking about your private life all the time, whereas with your friends you open up. So on a work night out, may, you know, these people, your work colleagues, are moving into the friends category. Mm. And how much do you share? How much do you not? And how inappropriate is it then the next day to go back and share that private information with everybody else?
I think it's probably wholly inappropriate to talk about it,
big
particularly
time,
the gory details of the next day. And I think that's probably something that everybody needs to remember, that really the idea of let's do a recap and a post-mortem on the night out is a kind of a bad enough approach. On work nights out and how long, I always think actually a good time to leave is around 11 o'clock, because after that nobody will really miss you. You can slip out and you'll be grand the next day. It might feel that, well, I'm missing out on part of the party, but typically after 11 it's a waste of time anyway. So I'd always just have a big caveat around it. And that thing of the kind of the gory details next day makes everybody awkward.
Oh, it's awful.
And then also embarrasses people unnecessarily, when really that's not what you're trying to do with your colleagues.
It's like you've been spied on. It's just a sickening feeling. And also it's that line as well where a bit of crack and a bit of banter can go too far, going over into the bitching territory, and that is very awkward.
Well, that's it. And that's one of the things that can often happen on work nowadays, where you begin to talk about your colleagues. Again, I would always almost steer clear of that. That if, for example, you and I are out and we're talking about somebody else, there are lots of questions. Are we bitching? Are we giving out? Are we bullying? There's those types of debates can happen. And then also, if you're giving out to me about Joey, what's the likelihood of you giving out to Joey? You know, there's that thing. So I'd always steer clear of pitching. Any unnecessary comments, try and keep it positive. It might be a wee bit of an act, but it's an act that will help further your reputation rather than have people questioning you, are you kind of trustworthy
and
enough.
In a more altruistic, it's the right thing to do, you know.
Totally.
People are sitting in a room with you, you're working with them, whether you're in an open plan or whatever it is, for years. Have some respect for them and their own stories as well, you know. And yes, even if we do, whether we're the person who makes a complete idiot of ourselves, and we've all been there. I thought you were going to be there.
I didn't nod.
All jokes aside, we've all been there. Or whether you're the person who's seen it, again, a bit of empathy, you know, you're felt there.
Yeah, but
the
even if you have done a kind of a stupid thing on a night out, you have to have a way up, you know. How on a spectrum of stupid was it? If we're landing in it was deeply offensive to my colleagues and, you know, I wrecked the place or I abused somebody or I happened to attack somebody, there'd be the points where you probably need to apologise. If it's the ones where it was kind of embarrassing, I'd laugh it off and never forget it, never ever forget it, and say, well, I'll never ever do that again. And that's back to the keeping the drinking under control and probably heading out a little bit or heading home a little bit earlier than you normally would.
Do you know what, Owen? I have a big cheesy grin on my face because what's your Twitter handle again? At
Owen McDermott.
At Owen McDermott. And where else can people get in touch with you? Obviously through the communications clinic. Because I'm thinking we may be able to bounce our stuff off you.
Yes, indeed.
To come in.
Well, one of the listeners tweeted me beforehand who said, yeah, I'm totally in favour of socialising. What I don't like is organised fun, where it's kind of forced into it. And that's back to kind of the Dublin Mountains example. It's kind of forcing everybody to try and have fun, and it never really clicks.
Yeah.
And I think that people really, whether it's getting out and going for lunch, it's a lovely way of spending time with your colleagues.
Now, work nights away, okay? Mm. Because often when the night away thing is, it's uncomfortable for, you can't even get the word out, it's that uncomfortable, for people who are in relationships, right? Because you're thinking, oh, I don't know, and your other half's thinking, who's going, where are you staying, who are you sharing a room with? And then the other scenario is, a lot of romances can come from scenarios. Doesn't have to be a night away, but what's your view on that whole thing, work romances?
Work work romances, I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to have to be able to spend all of the time in your whole entire life with your loved one? That's such a positive thing. On the other thing, I think it is actually, there is probably a wee benefit to it where you get to spend time with a colleague and say, gosh, actually they're sound, or she's really nice and I get on very well with them. So there are benefits to it. I tend to have a big caveat around it, particularly in small organisations, because I just think that it gets, it's too small. It can make people a wee bit uncomfortable. And in the States, for example, they even have in people's contracts that there are a no couples clause in their contracts where they ban them. Wow. And some larger organisations, I can see how it would work, because you're a mile apart in the office and actually a lot of people wouldn't really realise that you're together. So there is, funnily enough, a research that was done that said you're more likely, couples who meet in the workplace are more likely to get married. So that there is that connection and that they go through. And there was an accountancy firm who I was working with, and they brought in their grads and they told them, one in four of you will now meet your life partner out of this group. So again, that's their advice was, we better get out early to make sure all the good ones aren't taken. You know, but if there are some good examples of people who've met in the workplace, Bill Gates and his wife, they met there and they've stayed together. Brad and Angelina, they met on set and they're hanging in there.
Although he was married at the time.
Well, yeah, well, we won't go there because that throws in a whole different kettle of fish. Another good example, though, are the Obamas. They met,
yes,
actually, oddly.
That's good.
But that's a kind of an interesting one as well, because pecking order comes in there. She was actually supervising him, which throws in a whole different ball
like
game
that.
Because there has to be a way up to see, well, is that appropriate, you going out with somebody who is subordinate to you, and are you going out with your boss?
It's all right the other way around. For centuries it's been all right the other way around, where the man was the boss. So
yeah, well, it's just on appropriateness, I think, you need to be looking, because it does throw up questions like, if there's a performance review, how are you going to do the performance review, a pay review? Even that's an issue that becomes when you become pally with your manager, where you're actually good friends.
And that was me zooming in on this,
on the
equality issue, because of course it's wrong either way, you know. It shouldn't, whether it's male, female, boss, or it doesn't matter, you know, it has to be seen
as fair. Well, it throws up complications that are kind of unnecessary. So I think, yeah, there probably research to suggest you'll probably stay with the person, you'll probably more than likely meet it, but it does cause issues. Like, what happens when you break up? The breakup thing is a nightmare. For example, like, there's a couple who I would have known who were going out for 2 years, living together, working together, their desks were 2 metres apart, and then broke up quite acrimoniously, and it got so bad that their manager had to bring them in and say, look guys, you have an option, sort this out, or one of you is going to have to go. As it turned out, both of them left the job. And that's kind of the worst case and an awful case, but they are the situations
Absolutely.
That happen. Like, how do you deal with a colleague or your partner when you have broken up? And I think the thing is, either you act as professionally as possible, or you leave.
You're a gent, right? And you're talking about relationships, where people get together and they're talking about relationships. But what about the snogs? What about the night where you wake up and you go, oh God, I kissed Barry from computers. From IT. Like, what about those?
I'm going to struggle on this one, because I haven't had any experience of that myself.
You're blushing.
Barry and IT was never handsome enough. But one of the things I would find...
What about
from
publicity?
I think there's, again, a call that has to be made on the spectrum of awkwardness. How is it? Will we just kind of imagine that it never happened and try and be friends? Or do we say, let's try and deal with this? Because you never know. A relationship might flourish from it. But it's again, a toss-up that you might decide, okay, we'll just leave it to the past and try and like
that's
build
really
on
mature
it.
The only problem is that everyone else in the office knows, because you were in the middle of the office when you did it.
well then that's more of an issue there, Tara, where you're saying, hang on a second, your judgment was all wrong.
By the way, this is not a personal story, and I'm not pretending this happened to my friend.
Yeah, a friend of mine.
Oh, actually, hang on, maybe my friend Owen.
There was a public display of affection in the middle of the office with a colleague. That's not a good combination.
You're just going to have to accompany all of us whenever any of us go through any of these scenarios. We had text in, I hate going out with the people from work. There's one girl in particular that revels in telling people what they said the night before. It drives me crazy. With you. We talked about that at Rex Med. I went to a work party a while ago, and about an hour into it, I realised I'd had way too much to drink, written as that. So I said I had to go to the toilet and make a quick escape. I was dreading the slagging the following Monday at work. That's another thing. The weekend can become very long if you've been that person.
Yeah, and even a good tip is touch base with people. people from work, text them, see how they're getting on. Maybe not necessarily first thing on Saturday morning, because that can have a whiff of, oh gosh, they're a bit awkward. Where you could do it on a Sunday and say, how are things? Or did you see the match? Or did you see that show? So it can have a little bit of that kind of...
You're right, because first thing in the morning, it's a bit of desperation.
Yeah,
panic.
It's kind of okay. You know, they're sitting in bed saying, oh gosh, what did I do last night? So probably leave it to, did you see Love, Hate? Is probably a better thing late on a Sunday before you go into work on Monday.
Nice.
Yeah, but on the one thing we haven't touched on, but is the office relationship bit. That's a thing that people need to tread very, very carefully on. And in, you know, in particular, that you have to kind of, if you've decided I'm going to try it on with X, you pretty much need to have your ducks in a row. Because if it goes wrong and X says no, there's a whole load of HR issues that can happen there as well. Like, I would have heard that sexual harassment cases get brought because there is an inappropriate approach being made. So office relationships, it is a really, and office loving relationships is really dangerous territory.
Do you know what? I'm really glad you broke that up, because obviously we're having fun and talking about the fun side and the giddy side, but that is a really serious issue. And one issue as well that we are slightly getting better at and talking more. HR, very hands-on in a lot of companies. But yes, there is absolutely a way to go about it and a way to not. But what sort of way, you know, if you do like somebody, all jokes aside now, and the giddiness and the mistaken kisses and snogs, whatever. Yes. What about when you really do like somebody? And, you know, other people, you know, can pick up on it maybe. And you know that, you know, we're all coming up to Christmas party time. And if you do like somebody, what is the way to do it? Well, obviously not to get drunk.
I wouldn't do it at the Christmas party. That's the one thing I can never understand, why people have decided the Christmas party is the night I'm going to go and have a run at Mary, or I'm going to try it on with Joe. I just can never understand why you have decided to do that. I would do it, A, without drink. I would do it at probably some sort of thing that has been arranged, like a tag rugby thing or like some sort of event, and then I would say, look, would you mind going out for a drink? Or going, I would just ask the question in a kind of a non kind of pressured way, and if it's yeah, mighty, if it's no, I would move on swiftly and say, not a problem, let's keep going and let's be friends on that. And it's like whether you have a row with somebody in work or if you get rejected, the trick is to try and touch in with them shortly after it to kind of on something unrelated, so that it kind of makes the relationship back to a bit more normal.
Big time. And if that was a guy or a girl, to do it that in a lovely way like that is really respectful. And anybody who isn't respectful back, that's their bad issue. But totally. You're right to check in. And now we're running out of time, Owen. I would love to keep talking to you about this. I have so many more questions for you on it. But look at where you're at, the communications clinic, so people can contact you there. And on Twitter as well, at Owen McDermott.
Yes,
brilliant. Owen, you're a gentleman. Brilliant talking to you. So we're going to have to get you back in. And even if I can listen to you talking to Ryan, so we can keep getting a few tips. Not for me personally, you know, and on anyways. Thank you, Owen.